Attempt blocked by McNabb. To the right circle, a try. Kick, save Hill. Rebound, another try, save Hill. A third try, save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bois boots it ahead, sticks it left. Barbashev in, back to the right, a shot. Score! Marchessault, 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Friday. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman hanging out with you. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. We've got Bruce Cassidy's audio coming up in just a little bit. We've got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Sidney Crosby will factor heavily into one-timers, as will the Arizona Coyotes, question mark. But to start things off, we've got the Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers Hockey Parlay Contest. You can check out Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers inside the Fashion Show Mall. $200 this week. That's the pot for Dirk. Dirk, you know how to play the game, right?
I do.
Okay, fantastic. So we are going to give you three games. You pick three winners. You win $200. How confident are you?
I am really not confident. Last time I played this, I was one for three.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you can go up from there. That's the beautiful thing. One for three. Yeah, let's try to make it three for three. So I'm going to pass things off here to Chris Chapman. He's going to give you his game, and then we'll collect your winners, and good luck to you.
All right, thanks.
All right, Chappie.
All right, my game is a all-Canadian matchup tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, I should say. Montreal travels to Ottawa at 4 p.m.
Oh, I'm going to go with the Senators on that one.
Ottawa at home over Montreal. Okay. Dirk, I'm sorry to do this to you, but my game is Vancouver at Edmonton tomorrow.
Oh. I'm gonna go with Edmonton.
All right, so you've got Ottawa at home against Montreal. You've got Edmonton at home against Vancouver. And the third game of the week, Boston at Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Okay, Boston at Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with the Penguins.
All right, so you have Ottawa at home against Montreal, Edmonton at home against Vancouver, and Pittsburgh at home against Boston. Do you want to make any changes?
I don't. I'm going to stick with it.
All right, Dirk, thanks so much for jumping on. Thanks for playing, and good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Dirk's Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers Hockey Parlay Contest. You can catch Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers inside the Fashion Show Mall. Chris Chapman, how do you think Dirk did there?
I think I like the picks. I like sticking with the home teams. Look, Ottawa-Montreal doesn't mean anything, but I think Ottawa at home, if I'm going to pick someone in that game, I'm going to pick the home team. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh has everything in the world to play for. And I like Edmonton to beat the Canucks, so I think we're looking at a winner, Ryan.
I kind of feel that way, too. I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to get Connor McDavid back for that matchup against Vancouver because, like, let's be honest, if Edmonton wins that game, they probably win the division.
They're in the driver's seat for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Well, they're already in the driver's seat right now. They control their own destiny. If they win out, they win the division.
Yeah, but you could be knocked out of the driver's seat tomorrow, so that's
well,
why.
Well, that's true. I'm just saying the point is I don't expect Edmonton to lose that game, and then – the way the Pittsburgh Penguins are going right now, as ridiculous as that this might sound, I'm all in on the Sidney Crosby train. Like, I think that if you can write the narrative of Sidney Crosby willing his team into the postseason when they sold at the trade deadline because they were dead in the water, I'm all over that. So
yeah,
I love the
picks. They trade away Jake Guentzel, and here they are on the verge of making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's you're right on the money right now. The Penguins are in 1 point above Washington, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Someone's got to decide they want to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Pittsburgh Penguins might have been that team. Okay, let's shift gears here and get into Vegas and Minnesota. As you know, we've talked about here, the first part of the show was really devoted to Mark Stone, his ability this morning to practice with Vegas in a red non-contact jersey. That's great news for the Vegas Golden Knights. It appears that Nick Waugh will be back in the lineup tonight for Vegas as well. That's a good thing. I'll explain why in just a little bit. No Pietrangelo. Doesn't look like he's going to play tonight or Sunday. So we'll kind of see what, if any, updates we get on Alex Pietrangelo. But right now he's just not skating, and he's got a really gain clearance to be able to get back with the team and practice again. And then you look at it from this perspective, you get Chandler Stephenson back into the fold, so that's good news for the Vegas Golden Knights. Going into this one against Minnesota, there's a lot of reasons for this team to be invigorated. Nick Waugh, Chandler Stephenson, those are two reasons particularly, but I think the biggest one is Mark Stone and his ability to come back and at least practice with this team.
Well, it's good to see him out there. He's in a red jersey. That means he's progressing from what his return to play would be. Not sure what's left on that. Obviously, he's got to get clearance for his injury, and we'll see how it plays out down the road. But it's nice to have him back out there, just see him back with the group.
How much does that part of the boost in the room going down this stretch?
Well, a lot, I think, because there's doubt with that type of injury. You don't know when he was coming back. There's scans and all these things he has to go through for an internal injury, and you just don't know what's going on there. So I'm not sure he did inside, to be honest. But now he's at least been cleared to get out and be around people, just not in the heat of the battle. So that bodes well and for him and hopefully for us. Again, I don't know when that'll be, but I'm glad he's around and moving and back being part of the group, because it's been a few years in a row he's had to sit part of that out, and it can be tough for a guy mentally. So it's great for him to be back. He's a captain, he's the leader of our team, so to be around his teammates is terrific for everybody.
Now that he's been in the group for about a month now that he's here long term, just what have been your overall thoughts on Noah's game, just how seamlessly he's been?
Yeah, listen, he's been solid. He's played big minutes for us. He plays against top people. You know, we try to share that workload as much as possible when we're completely healthy. Petro takes on a big part of that. He's been out for a while. And power play, we just made a switch with him and Theo just for a different look. So he's added there. You know, great play in the penalty kill the other night. He's going to be part of that. You know, we use Nabber and Hager a lot on that left side, so we move one of them over Marty. So at the end of the day, he's been a really good fit. I thought he's played well with Nick. We'll see how that plays out down the road. But right now, I think it's been a good partnership.
You mentioned Trangelo's. Is there an update on
him? I don't have much new on him. He's not playing tonight. He's not skating with us, so or at all. So I don't anticipate he'll play Sunday. Is there a quick turnaround there? I don't have a good answer for that. So hopefully we get good news on him soon.
Is he recovering well? Is there anything you can say about
that? Well, I can't speak for him, but you know, he was in this morning, so he's got to wait a certain period of time before he gets clearance for re-engagement, however that plays out, whether it's on the ice or self with us, I don't know. Like, that's when I just hear from the trainers periodically and go from there. Danny, no one wants to speak. It's me and you, buddy. We all want to see the Masters. I wanted to. Who do you got?
I know. Just going into tonight, trying to rebound out that road trip. Just what are you looking for as far as?
Well, a more complete game, first of all, in all three zones. I thought our zone, we weren't effective breaking out. It showed. They were. So we've got to do a better job supporting the puck with our first touch, executing our first touch. And then their end, we've got to do a better job of creating some anxiety and forecheck turnovers, right? I mean, it's something we're good at when we're on our game. We mix a forecheck with the rush game pretty well. Now, you know, Nick Waugh's line is a big part of starting that process. And with him out and Will out, we miss a bit of that. They set the tone for that type of game. Nick's back in, so hopefully that helps us there. And the guys just have a better mindset on playing behind the other team. And then being connected on your forecheck. Everyone's got a job to do. I think we're duplicating in certain parts. Our routes weren't great on others. So they were able to get out easier than we were. And I thought they did a good job taking away our outlets, and it created some problems for us. So that's step one. Neutral zone is always about puck management and speed. When we're on, we look great. I think when we were playing well, like a short time ago before the, on the road trip earlier, Vancouver at home, we're doing a good job with that. Again, that's execution. Yeah, special teams lately haven't been. I think our power play was good. Scored a couple in Vancouver. Didn't come through for us in Arizona, but scored a couple at home against Vancouver. We weren't on it the other night. So power penalty kills been, I think, fairly consistent. So that part of the game has turned the corner a little bit. So for us, what we're looking for is tidy up every area. Like, I know that's, well, it's what we need after the last three games. Let's face it. We can look at all three areas and say we can improve. And I don't think it's a million things. We just seem to be getting back to our game not that long ago, just before, when we got back from the trip and at home against Vancouver. So maybe mentally we checked out there for a little bit because I think the guys have it in them. So let's mentally check back in here and take care of business.
7 of your last 8 on the road. What are the difficulties involved with that?
Well, good teams can play anywhere, Gary. I'll say that. So there shouldn't be a lot of difficulty. The difficulty can be it's a long time away from home. So guys as individuals have young families especially. It can, you know, take its toll there. But that's part of the business every team goes through. So, but for us, what, you know, I guess – late nights, sometimes you lose a bit of, you know, there's a little bit of physical wear and tear, fatigue, especially late in the year, 7 out of 8. You know that the light's at the end of the tunnel in terms of where you want to get to. But those aren't excuses. Matchups, we're not a hard matchup team. So if we're on the road, we're not at any huge disadvantage. We feel we've got 4 centers that can play 3 D pairs, so we shouldn't have too many issues. So to be quite honest, I just think mentally we weren't where we needed to be. And the Arizona game probably stung us a little bit. That one gets away from us. And now maybe some of that carried over into Vancouver. I thought Vancouver had pockets of good hockey. They were opportunistic. Edmonton, not good. We weren't good. We weren't good enough to win. Vancouver, I thought we were right there. We had the lead, so we started well. So we're starting to come out of it. So we need a little bit more of that mindset, but then finish the game. You could use that word. I mean, Aiden's missed time. Logan had pockets. I think he was goaltender, the second star, and then the next week, not as good, not as consistent. Aiden, we know, has been there and done it, so we're trying to get him his starts that he needs to get there, but the clock is ticking. So I think it's a little bit of, ideally, you'd like them both to find their game in these next 4 games where they both feel good about it, and at least in recent memory. And then go from there, make a decision. So I can't tell you how it's going to play out because Aiden's missed time. So he needs to play. Yeah, we're in a situation where Logan's played more, so is he the better option? So we got to sort through that. Logan's going tonight, and then we'll make a decision on Sunday on tomorrow afternoon at some point.
Do you view it like kind of how the rest of the world does, where it's like game one, that's the guy, whoever we pick on game one?
No. As I said, you know, we need to take care of business, and then once we get to game one, we'll make a decision, and game two will be the next decision, right? And that's okay. That's okay. I think you're going to see more of the league. It's just if you got a balanced goaltending duo, then I think that you'll see more of that. I'm not saying one way is right or wrong. I just think you'll start seeing that, and we're in that position right now that, you know, it's probably something that's more likely to happen for us than other teams, but it doesn't mean it will, right? I mean, listen, let's say you're in game one, the guy's lights out. Like, you know, I start the other guy in game two and he calls me an idiot right away for that, right? So, like, that's what, you know, there's a little bit of that goes into it. You have to know your goaltenders. You have to know your team. I think if you're going to do that, you really have to have confidence and both guys can handle it mentally. The team can handle it, right? Like, what is the team thinking? Guy plays well, and you say, well, that's the plan all along. They're like, well, I don't care about your plan. He's, you know, so there's a little bit of that. You have to have everybody on board, I believe, with your decision. During the season, that's not the case. Coaches make call. But I think in the playoffs, there's got to be a little more, hey, guys, this is why we're doing this, and this is going to help us in the long run. And, you know, let's not be worried about that. Just play. Do your job. And I think those are the situations that will work out better if that's the route you go, I think.
This time of year still in your hands.
Well, a little bit earlier, just get our overall game back together where it's not pieces of it, it's the whole thing. And We don't need a hero, so to speak. You know, if our team plays well and our D-core is solid, takes care of business, our forwards, you know, get balanced scoring, our goaltenders timely saves, that we're going to be fine. I mean, we're a good hockey club. You know, putting Stevie and Nick Waugh back in, those are two big pieces of center icemen that, you know, that are have been played well for us. Now your hurdle every game is probably going to be more comfortable. So I think what's needed is just a better consistent effort for 60 minutes. And maybe some of that mental hurdle from the 7 out of 8 on the road is past us now. Seeing Stoney out there is going to give some guys some, you know what I mean? There's a little bit of the mental edge that we need as well. I think this time of year that matters. And hopefully that's something we have tonight and should have, to be perfectly frank.
There was Bruce Cassidy from earlier today after morning skate. He touched on Mark Stone, also an update on Alex Pietrangelo. You just heard, in terms of locking up a playoff spot, we'll get to clinching scenarios for the Golden Knights in one-timers in just a little bit, but it's right there as the question was asked. The Golden Knights control their own destiny here. They are in control of whether or not they find themselves into the playoffs, and it can happen as early as tonight. That's another aspect that I think, you know, maybe you lose sight of. It's no different tonight than it was two nights ago in Edmonton. However, Bruce Cassidy kind of shut down the idea of what do you have to do to clinch in terms of just getting across that line, and chose instead to talk about the process, right? And I think that's going to be the important thing for me over the final four games. The Golden Knights have had pockets of really good hockey, and they've had pockets of poor hockey. And I think ultimately what you want to see, ultimately what the Golden Knights were able to start that span of 8 games with, were a lot of really good pockets of hockey. There weren't a lot of breakdowns that cost Vegas points. And I think more than anything, what you're looking for here is for everyone to kind of get back to that level of execution and that rate of play. And the aspect that I think Bruce touched on there at the end, having Nick Waugh back in the lineup, having Chandler Stephenson back in the lineup, it's important for a number of reasons. It's two guys that know what to do and know what their roles are on this team. But in the context of Nick Waugh, Cassidy talked about forecheck pressure. He talked about the ability to meld the rush game with the forecheck game. And the fact of the matter is, when you go back and watch the Edmonton game, there was no forecheck to be found for the Golden Knights. And that, more than anything, is where I think you need Waugh in your lineup, on your fourth line, allowing the Golden Knights to win those battles and establish that forecheck early, which is why I think they're going to look very different tonight against the Minnesota Wild.
Well, yeah, and like you mentioned, getting Waugh, getting Stephenson back, I mean, look, that's not why you lost the other night, but getting those guys back is...
part of it.
No, that's it, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're missing two key players and two key centers at that. So I think you have this opportunity that's in front of you tonight where, regardless of what happens in St. Louis and Carolina, you put pressure on St. Louis if they win, because now they need to win out. So even though you may go into the game tonight without the opportunity to clinch, I mean, obviously it would depend on what happens in that Carolina-St. Louis game, but just winning the game mentally, I think it gets you better prepared for a huge, huge matchup against a potential playoff opponent in the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday afternoon. Look, I think... you heard it, too. Like, Logan's going to play tonight, and then they'll make a decision about Sunday when it's time.
So what did you make of kind of that larger conversation about goaltending, right?
I think he's right. I think he kind of nailed it, especially.
Do you believe there's a Game 1 starter in mind? Like, obviously, you got to get there first, right?
I do.
Like, you got to punch your ticket. Who do you think the Game 1 starter is based on what Bruce just talked about?
I think it's Aiden Hill.
Yeah, I agree with that, right? Like, because... there was one context clue, right? Aiden's been there before.
Right.
He's gotten his game to that level before. So we have to do what we need to do in order to kind of bring him along. But at the same time, you still need points here. And it's great that Aiden was able to get into that game in Edmonton. It was great that he was able to finish the game. I know that he allowed a couple of goals in the third period, but I thought that, you know, outside of the puck handling miscues, from a structured perspective in terms of how he was making saves, I thought he got better as the game wore on. But I think tonight you give Logan Thompson an opportunity, right? He was excellent for a stretch of about six or seven games. And then you go back to Arizona, you go back to Vancouver, a couple of tough starts there. Give him an opportunity to get another start under his belt. But at that time, depending on what happens tonight, you have to make a decision as to who you're going to go to on Sunday, and it might not necessarily be who your number one guy is going into the postseason.
Well, I think if Logan was the number one guy, I think he would have started against Edmonton.
Yeah,
he had both goalies at his disposal in that game, and Bruce Cassidy went with Aiden Hill. It was arguably the biggest game of the season at that point. So I think giving that in that particular moment, in that particular game, he started Aiden Hill. That sent the message to me that Aiden Hill is the guy that they're favoring to be the number one goalie at the start of the playoffs. I mean, Look, we went in last year, Laurent Brossoit was the number one goalie.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he got injured. It didn't work out the best for Laurent Brossoit, but it worked for Aiden Hill. So there's zero reason why Logan Thompson should keep his head down or be disappointed if he's not the number one guy going into that first game of the playoffs, because there probably at some point will be an opportunity for him to play.
I have to believe that's the case too. Now, maybe not, right? Maybe you go to Aiden Hill and there's that switch, right, that everyone talks about where you can flip the switch and all of a sudden you're in playoff mode and all of a sudden the Golden Knights are defending at a high level like they did last year in the postseason and Aiden Hill is locked back in and he's nearly unbeatable. That could happen as well, but you know, to your point, you need both guys finding their games here, right? Like, there's four games left. In a perfect world, I think you split them right down the middle. If it were me, I would go Logan Aiden. That's how I would view it, right? Because you give both guys two more games, two more opportunities to get themselves dialed in so that you feel comfortable whatever direction, so that the team feels comfortable whatever direction you decide to go for game one of the postseason. You want to have the confidence in both guys that they can go out there and get the job done.
Well, and that's it. Both guys need to be playing their very best hockey of the season. Like, the time for goofing around and trying to find your game is gone. Like, you don't have that opportunity. You don't have that luxury anymore. Now every game you play, hypothetically, is the most important game of your season. Look, if you win tonight, then Sunday against the Avalanche is the most important game of the season. And if you win that one, then Chicago and Anaheim don't mean much. But you still want to be at that point where those two games are opportunities to kind of maybe move some parts around and see how certain guys play together. Unless you're playing for positioning, right? Then those games take in a different meaning. But right now, today, the most important game of the Golden Knights season is tipping off in puck drop is in about 90 minutes, because this is the most important game of the year right now. Win, and you move one step closer to your first goal. Your first goal is obviously to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think to a degree, you touched on it. As much as we can sit here and say you don't want Chicago or Anaheim, you don't want the final two games of the year to mean much of anything, I think for a Golden Knights team that as much as you talk about just getting into the postseason, we've talked about it. There is an opportunity where this team's going to have to cross over into the Central. If they get there and they're a wild card team, they might have to go through the Central. If you can get yourself into that three spot, I think it benefits Vegas greatly, and there's an opportunity to still do that. That's not lost on them either. So I do think every game between now and the end of the regular season will matter. I just don't think the stakes are going to be quite as high when the Golden Knights are punched into the postseason. Let me ask you this question. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, and it's probably going to anger some people, but Marc-Andre Fleury is expected to start tonight for the Minnesota Wild. It could be, might be, potentially his final game here at T-Mobile Arena. Do you think that gives the game a little extra juice?
Well, I think it does for both sides, yeah, because I think for Minnesota and especially for Marc-Andre Fleury, They want to win for him. For Vegas, you want to win for the reasons we just talked about.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think Vegas cares if he's in net or not.
Sure.
But I think they care about winning the game. But for the Wild, I think they're out of the playoffs. Vegas had a pretty big key in helping contribute to that. And granted, they had a long uphill battle, even had they won that game. But this guy is a first ballot Hall of Fame goalie.
Mm-hmm.
He's loved everywhere he's played.
Mm-hmm.
We love him here. We always enjoyed our interactions with him. The fans always enjoyed their interactions with him. For him, it was an opportunity to find a rebirth, refine his game.
Sure.
Because when he came here, he didn't know how good this team was going to be. Mm-hmm. He won his one and only Vezina trophy here as a member of this organization. He took this organization to a Stanley Cup final. So, yeah, for him, it's a significant game. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to hang up the skates at the end of the year. I don't know if he's going to sign another contract.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he would be able to find a home should he decide he wants to play again.
I think it'd be Minnesota again.
And that's fine. You know, I think Minnesota's a good spot for him. But I think it does mean something. It's important for him in that he knows what his future plans are. And if this is the final time he plays here at T-Mobile Arena, he's going to want to make it memorable for a lot of reasons.
Okay, I'm just going to paint a picture for you. Jonathan Marchessault sets the single season goal record for the Vegas Golden Knights by scoring a hat trick on Marc-Andre Fleury tonight.
That would be, first of all, the trash talk between the two of them
on
the ice.
That's the only reason I'm throwing it out
there.
Yeah, and Marchessault hat trick against Fleury to set the single season goal record. Like, who says no to that?
Yeah, now Fleury would be angry and he wouldn't tell us what Marchessault would say to him, but I'm guessing Marchessault would tell us what he would say.
We would know exactly what Marchessault says to
him. Yes.
Marchessault will tell us what Marchessault is going to say to him. I'm telling you right now, like, listen, I don't like, I'm not one for predictions here, but I'm kind of burying the lead on who my Knight to Shine is going to be later on in the pregame show. I'm calling a Jonathan Marchessault hat trick. Come on.
That would be fantastic.
The trash talk would be insufferable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Marchessault would not stop talking. He'd be talking on Sunday.
It's my whole point. It's the whole point. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So, you know, I threw out a big prediction there. We'll take a break. Come back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner. Centered. One-timer score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Clinching scenarios. Everyone's favorite segment here on one-timers. Centers around the Vegas Golden Knights, so that's good news. Vegas will clinch if they defeat the Wild in regulation and the Blues lose to the Hurricanes in any fashion, or Vegas defeats the Wild in overtime or the shootout and the Blues lose to the Hurricanes in regulation. So same set of circumstances, same scenario as what was ahead of the Golden Knights on Wednesday in Edmonton. Right now, about 4 minutes left in the third period. St. Louis, Carolina, no score. So, you know, Frederik Andersen, he's at least making saves against the St. Louis Blues, which was something that just did not happen when St. Louis took on Chicago on Wednesday. One other clinching scenario, and it doesn't have to do with the playoffs in terms of getting in, but it does have to do with home ice. The Oilers will clinch home ice in the first round if they get at least 1 point tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. So
let's go, Yotes.
Come on. Come on. Like, the Arizona Coyotes have no idea if they're going to be in Arizona next season. Truly, like, legitimately. We talked about this yesterday with John Shannon, and I guess we can go there right now. Here's the Cliff's Notes version of what's going on right now with Arizona. As we know, that there's a land auction that Coyotes owner Alex Morello is trying to win June 27th. Now, the NHL is in a position right now where even if the Coyotes were to win that land auction, you're still looking at least three seasons additional, more, in Mullet Arena while that arena gets built. And the original plan when it came to Arizona in Mullet Arena was three seasons tops, right? Three seasons, then you move into an NHL building, and we move forward and everything's good. That hasn't been the case. The Coyotes right now are trying to buy time. Well, you've got Ryan Smith up in Salt Lake City who owns the Jazz. He wants hockey. He's made it clear he wants hockey. And from what the reporting has indicated, there would be a sale of the Coyotes to the National Hockey League, and then the National Hockey League would turn around and sell to Ryan Smith, and it would end up with the Arizona Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City for next season. Now, there are a number of different scenarios. There are balls up in the air. These things can fall through at any time. But right now, it certainly has the feel that Arizona, their time in the desert is numbered.
It certainly seems that way. And, you know, when we had Tyson Nash on last week, he kind of alluded to the fact that they needed some finality in terms of what was going to happen with the arena. Look, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday as well about the television markets here.
Yeah.
And look, I think John Shannon was on point. Like, if I'm Bill Foley, I gladly give up Salt Lake for Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that all day long.
But I think from the standpoint of the Coyotes, I'm sad because I feel bad for their fans. And I used to live in Phoenix. I used to go to Coyote games back when they had great players like Nikolai Hobby-Boulin and Jeremy Roenick and, you know, Keith Tkachuk. And one of my favorites, Teppo Numminen. It's sad to see because the fans are ultimately the ones who lose here. The people who've poured their heart and soul. And I know there's some hardcore Coyote fans. You see them sometimes when they come up here. But in the other regard, it's good for Salt Lake City. I mean, I think it's a good city. I think it'll be a good market. And something that maybe we're not really talking about here. The Olympics, at least the Winter Olympics, is going to go to like a rotation, much like the Super Bowl. And Salt Lake City figures to be, or they'd like to be, in that rotation.
Yeah.
It'd be really good for the NHL to have a team in that market if it turns out that Salt Lake City does become one of the teams or cities for a rotation for the Winter Olympics. They'd like that because there's going to be infrastructure in place to have hockey tournaments. But I feel bad for the players, too, because, look, there's guys who've signed there that have the impression that they were going to be playing in Phoenix for two or 3 years.
Yep.
Guys have signed extensions, believing that this was going to become something that was potential. I mean, look at a guy like Josh Doan. I know he hasn't signed an extension, but he's an Arizona guy.
Sure.
He grew up there. His father played for the franchise. He's now a member of the franchise.
I mean, I'll make the argument that Josh Doan will play in the National Hockey League wherever he can play in the National Hockey League.
Right.
It's not going to mean as much, maybe, in that regard when you factor in what his family means to hockey in Arizona. But you give Josh Doan an opportunity to play in the National Hockey League, he's going to take it, whether it's Salt Lake City, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's pick a city, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if you look at things, if you zoom out, it's not that hockey doesn't work in Arizona. It's that you don't have the infrastructure right now to support hockey in Arizona.
Yeah, and I think that's it. The ownership has never, you know, when I was living there, they played downtown. They played in downtown Phoenix in an arena that was not built for hockey. They moved out to Glendale.
Which is too far away from where their fans actually live.
Yeah, because all their fans tend to be on the east side of the valley.
Yeah.
Mesa, Tempe, Scottsdale, Chandler, Ahwatukee. That's where a large portion of the fan base lives.
Geography with Chris Chapman.
Well, I mean, it's Glendale is listen, if you're in Ahwatukee or if you're in Chandler, Glendale's over an hour away.
Yeah.
If you're driving through there on rush hour traffic. It's horrible. They tried to get an arena done 20-something years ago in an area of Scottsdale where there was a shopping mall called Los Arcos. And it would have been perfect. This area where they were talking about the land auction would have been good.
Yeah.
I don't think the ownership, regardless of whether it's the current ownership or previous ownership, has ever really committed to putting a great product on the ice. And it sucks. It sucks for the fans who've been there since day one.
It does. Now, we'll see how this all unfolds, but right now it certainly does have the feel that the Arizona Coyotes are not going to be in Arizona next season. Okay, Sidney Crosby. Hard pivot, I guess, but hey, Sidney Crosby's worth it. Sidney Crosby's three-point night propel the Penguins by the Red Wings and into the playoff picture as the second wild card spot. Crosby had a goal and two assists. The second assist of the game was the most important as it came on Erik Karlsson's game winner in overtime, thus putting Pittsburgh 1 point ahead of Detroit and into the playoffs. It also pushed Crosby to 10th all-time in points in the National Hockey League, surpassing Phil Esposito, 1591. And Crosby becomes the seventh fastest player to 1,000 career assists and just the 14th to ever do it.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, one word, incredible, amazing, ridiculous, phenomenal. I've made the argument when we went to Mount Rushmore, Sidney Crosby's top four all time to ever play the game. You can fight me, you can argue with me, I don't really care. Sidney Crosby is on the Mount Rushmore of NHL players. He's been that good, he's been that consistent his entire career, and he's willing his team into the playoffs. You want to talk leadership, you want to talk all those intangibles, what a captain can do for you. Watch Sidney Crosby in overtime yesterday for the Penguins. Just watch him. Intentionally gets himself kicked out of the opening faceoff in overtime so that he can jump on the wing. After Dylan Larkin wins the faceoff, Crosby jumps on the puck, and the Penguins never relinquished possession in overtime.
Yeah, way to go, D-Boss.
Well, it's Crosby's out here playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I know. Listen, you and I both want to see Pittsburgh make the playoffs.
Yep.
Look, any opportunity we have to watch more of Sid, sign me up for that.
Yep.
Look, he's a treasure. He really is.
I have a very important question to ask you.
Okay.
Auston Matthews had 68 goals entering the third period of last night's game. Nikita Kucherov had 98 assists entering the third period of Tampa's game last night. Which game did you watch?
I watched Auston Matthews.
Of course you did. Why? Why? Because 70 goals is more impressive than 100 assists.
Well, I was going to say, I'm just a glutton for punishment. I want to watch the Devils.
No. Stop it.
I'm a Devil. I grew up a Devils fan.
I chose to watch Auston Matthews chase 70 because I just didn't care all that much about Nikita Kucherov hitting
100. I've got
like two
more chances to watch the Devils until September. So.
Okay. You watched because of Auston Matthews. Stop.
I mean, I wasn't watching because of Jake Allen. So.
Oh, that's true. You know, I got really mad when John Tavares scored in the third period. Not because he scored, but because it wasn't Auston Matthews.
That's totally understandable.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Everyone that's saying 100 assists, get out of here with that. It's 70 goals. Those are your one-timers for today, Friday, April 12th. Catching up with Chapman is next.
That was One-Timers, brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Well, Ryan, they head to the first intermission in the game between the Blues and the Hurricanes, and it's level at one. St. Louis scored at 17:34 of the first period. Zach Bolduc.
There it is.
And Jordan Martinuk tied it up.
Martinuk.
A little bit later in the period, so they head to the locker room level at one. We'll keep an eye on that one. I mean, I'm going to be looking at it tonight as we're watching the Golden Knights in the Minnesota Wild, but looking forward to this one tonight. got to see my buddy John Merrill the last time the Wild were in town, and he said hello to everybody, and you know, he still enjoys coming into town and playing here. So
did he remember you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, gave me a big hug. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Flurry as well. Yeah, Flurry as well.
Flurry gave you a hug?
A high five.
Did John Merrill actually give you a hug?
Yes, John Merrill gave me a hug. Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
What'd you guys talk about?
Vegas, Minnesota, how he's doing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you talk about with Flurry?
We talked about him moving up to number two on the all-time wins list.
Oh,
and,
nice.
You know, he said if there's anyone who's going to catch Brodeur, it would be Hellebuyck.
If Marchessault scores a hat trick tonight, will you go into the Minnesota Wild locker room and talk to Flurry?
Not if they lose, no.
No, come on.
No, no.
Come on.
Nope. Can't do it. Can't
He'll be available.
Maybe.
All right, pregame show coming up in just a couple of minutes. Keep it here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.